行きますね。すごい。
はい、こちら白ですか。今タレ出してます。ちょっと待って。はい、こちら焼きたてのタレです。白はこちらのタレでどうぞ。で、こちら塩焼き用のカラスです。
あいまー、頑張れ、頑張れ。
いや
Now, folks, can you hear me? I gotta keep this kind of quiet. It's 1:30 in the morning. I'm just home. And I've probably got a bunch of students sleeping all around me, so I really gotta keep this quiet. I've had to wake the night manager up again. That's about the fourth time since I've arrived here. Tonight, in my best Japanese, I apologized profusely, as I do every time, and told him not to worry, that I'm going back to Canada very soon. You know, won't disturb him again. Oh, boy. Now, where do we leave off? I was telling you about the delights of Yokohama, and I guess I was reminiscing about the old days, and you know, talking about how wonderful I just think Japanese life style can be, you know, when you're out drinking. I talked about those guys drinking out in the street. I did go back and take a picture, by the way, so if you do have an interest, just look up Scarborough Dude or Dixon Jane's, I don't know which one. There's a link on show number 102. Anyway, just click that, find the pictures up on Flipper McGee or whatever it's called. Anyway, listen. Just home by taxi from Yokohama. Now, that's a nice way to travel. That was a $100 taxi ride. But my good sidekick, Shaboom, and I don't know why I'm calling him that, other than the fact that I still don't want to give his real name for whatever reason. Shaboom said, I said, well, we could take a taxi, a train, and then the taxi. No, don't even bother. So it was just like the old days when boss of the company used to hand me a $100 bill and say, hey, go home, time to go. So Shaboom did it tonight, and of course he helped me wake up the night watchman so I could get back in here. Now, why were we so late? Well, let me backtrack a little. I think prior to this, you will have heard some guys yelling. Now, folks, that is just so much damn fun. And when I whined a little earlier about kind of the meal I had with this woman, and it wasn't too exciting, but I got a very nice email from her already thanking me so much for taking the time off my busy schedule to do, you know, spend some time with her and chat. And I was a perfect gentleman, and that's good. It was good sense for business. I did the right thing, but I still felt a little, I'd rather be just out drinking with the boys, you know. Anyway, met Shaboom as planned at 9 o'clock, Yokohama, Kannai, right after I left you off. And he said, I'm a little hungry. Do you mind if we go into some Japanese place? I said, hey, hey, hey. And in we went to what is a very famous yakitoria, place where they have charcoal fires behind the counter. And they just keep bringing out more and more of these briquettes, you know, of real charcoal. And then they have trays full of yakitori, raised on special chicken farms, of course. And you order, and of course Shaboom ordered a stack of them, you know, skewers, many of them. And what's so cool about it is they take your order, they yell it out at everybody. They yell it, you know, three times around the room. It was almost like, if you remember, who's the fat guy from Saturday Night Live who died, you know, drank too much coke and everything else. John Belushi. It was like a John Belushi skit. It was really funny. Like, they yell and they feed off on each other. You know, each one sort of yells a little louder than the other guy as they take your order. That's just part of the character of the place and part of the fun of it. And they have a system where they just, it's like a silver rack in front of you, and they just stick it all right there, and then they can just sort of wash it down by the end of the night, and they give you your sauces to dip it in. So anyway, delicious, along with namabiru. That was the treat I'd been looking for all day. a real Japanese style yakitori. So there's a picture posted and you have heard the noise. Now, part two, as promised, let's go meet some girls. Now, this portion of the podcast, I'm going to spare you all the details. I'm just going to give you an outline, but this may be offensive to some. Some of you may think, oh, that's just so damn chauvinistic. That's just so damn juvenile. Ugh, you know, whatever. You just may find it foolish. But I'm just telling you the goods. I'm telling you about what Japan is like and what life is like for a salaryman in Japan. Tonight was my reward. It was a sales call, and I was treated to all the benefits for all the hard work everybody else is doing. And so this was going to be a treat, not just for me, but for Shaboom as well. He took me to the, I think it was called the Bay Paradise. A club. You walk in and there's a line of women sitting there. In fact, there was probably a dozen just sitting at the door when you walk in. And they all stand up and greet you and welcome you. And they go, that looks nice. And you walk in and there's just sort of a lounge area. Sofas and chairs and all kinds of pockets. Little dividers between each one. So there's lots of privacy. And there would have been, I would guess, at least 30 beautiful women in this place. Majority from the Philippines, thank God, because boy, are they cute. A few from Romania, and basically that was it. They said there were some Russians, but there weren't. And the Russians keep to themselves. They have another place. And we could have gone to that bar. Shaboom gave me the choice. I said, no, let's go for the Philippine ladies. And of course, that was, I knew that was his preference too. And you go in, you sit at this counter, there's a bottle of whiskey on the table, and immediately you sit down, you've got two pretty young girls, one for each of us, beside you to give you a hot towel to wash your face and hands and dry off, greet you with this wonderful, friendly smile, in English, Japanese, whatever, and then just entertain you for the rest of the evening. Pour your drink, make sure it's topped up with ice, hand you another wet towel or a cold towel, whatever you need, whenever you need. Get you up dancing, get you up singing. They had a hostess, a little older, who was a great singer and a keyboard player. Other people doing karaoke, a crazy man, like right out of the comic books, wearing like a pork pie hat, standing up, singing with the foxiest woman in the room with him. But she was, he was a hard customer, so she looked after him. Anyway, it all sounds so boring, I know, and I just cannot, like, I've got my eyes closed, and I'm reliving, I'm picturing back. So listen, I'm sorry. I just don't want to go into too much more, but that is the treat for good business relationships. It's simply a case of making the men feel good. It's entertainment. These women are in the business of keeping things light and lively and fun. Everybody flatters everybody else. No matter what woman you're sitting beside, you tell her she's the most beautiful woman in the room. And it's always true. But they change. So you start off with a couple and then, you know, you meet Cherry. We started off with Cherry and Princess. Now, there's a start phrase, isn't it? Cherry was, they were both gorgeous. But then Cherry leaves and then Princess goes and old Lynn comes by and then Justine comes by. And next thing you know, you've had half a dozen women entertain you. The bill was probably close to $250. Not too bad for a few drinks and a few hours of good entertainment. Simply the reward for all the hard work they've been doing. So I'm sorry to give you not a very exciting version. Yeah, had I hauled this thing out and you heard the banter, and the fun for me was being able to do the whole damn thing in Japanese, because their Japanese is rudimentary too. So it actually makes you feel good. Normally I feel stupid for my bad Japanese. But in this place, it's just all light and lively and bouncy and fun. I could understand them, they could understand me. And then, you know, you switch to English when you feel like it. Because most of the Philippine ladies can speak very good English. Gorgeous, in gorgeous gowns. I mean, dressed perfectly. I mean, that's their whole job, is to look beautiful and make you feel young and happy. close my eyes now. I'm just not. That's all you're going to get from me. But I need you to know, because the day ended so perfectly. And you don't remember I was bitching about lunch. And I always still have this feeling that everything ends up just the way it's supposed to. And I was supposed to have that lunch and see that poor old man dying in his deathbed. Maybe even to make me enjoy tonight even more while I'm young and happy. Because, you know, folks, I got to say one more thing, one more message. It came out Saturday when they found out how old I was and said, ooh, next year you get the red vest. Because next year I'm going to be 60. Now, I can't believe that, because I feel like I've got the body of a 30-year-old and the brain of a 15-year-old. That's the way I feel. But in actual numbers, unless I've lost my marbles, I'm going to be 60 this time next year when I'm back in Japan. And it should be scary. Just me saying that, it should really scare the shit out of me. But, I mean, here I was, just getting into the taxi, tripped over a wire, fell flat in my, flat in the pavement on our way out. Picked myself up and jumped right back into that lovely taxi. Hey, listen, gotta tell you that taxi ride. There was a toll gate on the drive home. This guy had a pass. He did 100 kilometers through the toll gate, knowing it would just spring open in the nick of time. Like, he was a great driver. It was a Toyota Crown, a real luxury car. And he just did it for the fun of it. Racing from Yokohama to Tokyo, high speed, 100 kilometers through a toll gate that just by inches, just the doors flew open just in time. I thought, holy shit, the guy's going to run it. No, he knew. He does this every night for a living. Not only that, he pulls into this dark side street where we are, like in the middle of nowhere. Shaboom, who's paying by credit card, gets out of the car and says, can you just wait here? And disappears for 5 minutes while he's trying to get me in. Now, nobody in Canada is going to leave two guys in the middle of a dark neighborhood with the meter running already clocked at $100 and let you walk away. This is Japan, folks. He just knew. Nobody's going to cheat him. We're Japanese people. God, I love this country. I just love so many things about it. I'm looking forward to next year when I come right back. At the age of 60, wearing my fucking red vest, because I will have gone 5 times around that clock. You know, the old 12 cycles of the Chinese calendar. 5 times around it, folks. So stay tuned. And if you're still listening to this show a year from now, you're going to hear the dude back in Japan. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Hiya! Marvis!
Yeah, good morning. Hang on. Yeah. 8 o'clock, literally still. I gotta get up and have a shower. Get my day started. The showers here are kind of cool. Go downstairs. There's a little room. Three little rooms. Shower rooms. All tiled and a big bathtub. A deep bathtub. So that's the ofuro. If you want to fill up with hot water and sit there. Gee, I could do that today, but maybe tonight. But otherwise you go in and you can sit in this little, stool that's about 8 inches high. So it's pretty, you're low down to the ground, you know. But you just sit there and hold this spray and hose yourself down. It feels good. I shave in there too, but there's no mirror, so I'm cutting myself all the time. But what the hell was pointed out to me last night by the ladies, these little nicks in my face. I had wonderful dreams, not surprisingly. I just wanted to add a couple further words about that. Most of the men who would have attended there would have been, relatively happily married men. This is just pure entertainment, pure and simple. The girls are not prostitutes by any chance. And you can go back. You can request the same girl if you go back another night. But they get rotated around. So several of the girls had come from, you know, different clubs in Roppongi or somewhere else. And in a few months, 6 months maybe, they'll go back to another place. Most were sending money back to the Philippines, wanting to, you know, one case, open a business or do something else. Because this is only a game for the young. After that, it's a bit tough when you lose that youth. Most Japanese housewives would be aware that, you know, when the husband comes home at midnight, of course, they've been out drinking. They do it every night. Now, this is on the company tab. So the woman, certainly used to be, controlled all the household finances. So the man just can't go in with a wad of cash and spend all the money for baby food, you know, wasted on other girls. It's quite clear a little bit is given up. Very tight budgets on what he can spend for his lunch and so on. And that's just accepted. And I guess when I looked around last night, some would have been on company tabs. Some might have been single. Who knows? Definitely on a regular. There was an old man with white hair. At one point was dancing with two women. Was getting up singing a lot of karaoke songs. Waltzes, all kinds. I guess they call it cheek dance. Do you want to cheek dance? And very happy, and of course was probably fairly wealthy because he was a regular customer. All the women knew him. Fine job, behaved himself. Just was quite happy. You know, it was pretty neat to see some old dude with white hair by himself going in and just having the time of his life. I compare that to the poor old drooling man on the Mos Burger, you know, bench trying to feed himself a potato. So, life is short. Do what you can. I'm just thinking, I mean, for some people this might sound kind of strange way to live. And it's as my friend Shibu was saying when we walked down the street, we saw a man sort of sitting up on a wall like Humpty Dumpty talking into a phone very loudly and laughing away. And it sort of made you laugh, like he was obviously very drunk, shouting at somebody in his cell phone happily. And Shibu's comment is, "We are happy people, eh?" And there was that feeling, and it's a feeling, it's part of Japanese history. Japan has had this reputation for a long time of being a land of happy drunkards. And, of course, our interpretations or perceptions for many of us were colored by the war, and that's where they got kind of frozen. And certainly when I first came over here, the only Japanese I knew were the Woolworths shop, or the Five and Dime in Valleyfield, Quebec, where you went in, and there are all these cheap little goods, literally the Five and Dime, stuff made in Japan after the war, when they were just rebuilding their factories and industry. And prior to that, of course, the bad guys during World War II. All the propaganda you saw, you know, the buck-eyed Japs. And when I came here in 1984, I sort of came looking for the bad guys. Where are they? And I never did find them. And I met a couple of people I didn't like. And it's very tough people, and there are gangsters. It's, you know, who assassinated the mayor, well, killed the mayor of Nagasaki not too long ago, which got people very upset. But a lot of people look at Japan and say, well, that's kind of stupid, that's wrong, and why would they do that? Why don't they do it this way? And my answer, my feeling has always been, look, it's like a puzzle, and you start pulling out one piece, the whole thing is just, it's going to crumble, it's not going to work. This is really, somehow, it works. I look back at Canada. We've got the city of Toronto, supposedly the biggest city in Canada, you know, most wealth. We've been talking for 5-10 years on improving the waterfront, doing something about the Gardiner Expressway. We cannot get our shit together. Politicians can't agree. Different parties are in. There are no visionaries. Nobody seems to have the power to do anything. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. Here, this country, Kanagawa Prefecture, strong city government says, hey, we're going to build that city of the future. Bam. It's built in record time to compete with other countries. And again, it's that sense in Japan of we are Japanese. We are working together. It's our duty. Like last night's reward of going out to this club was because everybody in the company had worked hard to produce results, to get new business. It was a real lesson for me, and I told Shaboom that, you know. Man, I do have to work harder. I do have to have more of a business focus. He's aware of that, too. Is that a stretch? Is that impossible for the Scarborough dude? Who knows? All I know, it's been a great trip. We got one more late night left. That's tonight. I'm going to meet my old friend, who I met on an old internet chat line. Long, long ago. Long before I ever met him in person. He became a reader and supporter of the Dixon James newsletter. Very, very good friend. A very bright young man. Translator. An American who can't go back to America. More Japanese than anything else. But currently residing in Australia. But just happens to be coming into Japan the day before I leave. So we're hooking up on his old stomping grounds, Asagaya. So yet another part of Japan, off on the Chuo line, running off of Shinjuku, sort of an artist area, which he just loves. So 6 o'clock tonight, we'll be starting off in Asagaya. One more round to go, folks. One more round to go. Oh, man, I gotta drag myself out of bed now and have a shower and get started. Ew, I think I'm gonna need a little nap before I get out tonight. I'll tell you, that's for sure. Take care, folks, and catch you later. Excuse me.
More of the street scene in Shinjuku. Boy, this is a hustler section if I ever saw one. Outside a different side of the station from when I normally get. Shinjuku is monstrous. It's a place where people notoriously just get lost when they first arrive in Japan. I'll meet you in Shinjuku. Oh yeah? Good luck. Of course, these days people have cell phones. There was no... They just weren't around that way when I first came here. And people were just... You had to be very specific about where you're meeting, but... Anyway, I just decided I'd take a stroll. I'm heading to Asagaya, as I mentioned in some podcasts. I don't know when. Maybe this one. Just got some time to kill, and I thought to come early, buy my ticket for Narita Express for tomorrow. That's done off the list. Last chore I really have to take care of. A few last-minute bits of shopping for my wife, some magazines, some special Shiseido, sunblock. And now a chance to enjoy the scene here at Shinjuku. There's just so many long-haired guys, you know, with a permed hair or permed or straight or dyed and not fitting the mold of your traditional Japanese salaryman. And I guess those are the people you see just hanging out. Live music all over the place. You know, I'm sure you've heard this before, but God, what a wonderful place to visit. So I'm just going to wander around, take a few photos, and let you know that I'm enjoying my second to last day here in Japan. Last sort of free day. Didn't do much today at all. I did slap together podcast number 104, which will be up. You may have heard before this one. And it just continues to go better than expected, and I just better do my end of things to meet the opportunities I've been given. You know, I've got my shit together this far to get this far. Now it'd just be a criminal of me to not, you know, capitalize on these opportunities in a good way. I owe it to people. I owe a lot of people big time. So, oh, geez, I didn't mean to get serious on you. All right, catch you in a bit, huh? You may hear just odd random noises from around the streets. That's all. Don't worry about it. Okay, I'm sitting at Asagaya Station, platform 4, waiting for the, that's me, Yombensen, the train going to Shinjuku, which will take me, I'll get off there, transfer to, Gotenda, and get on my local train line, I hope, to get me home. I'm just leaving Asagaya, which is a beautiful little sort of almost a hippie part of Tokyo, which my good buddy Chris knows inside it. He knows 20 bars here, like, personally. Like, and they would know him. He'd walk in the door and they'd say, "Hey, Chris, you're back from Australia. What are you doing here, man?" Very, very cool. So we've just finished our last drip, yeah. It was a little sip of Laphroaig Scotch whiskey at a little underground station bar. Hang on, my train's here. Looks like it's going in the right direction. Supposed to be. And, God, that was nice. It was just a really nice finishing touch to the evening. This taste of Laphroaig. And, oh well. I can't talk anymore. I'm on the middle of a train full of people. So I'll come. Oh, I'm in the sight. Full of people, so I'll just tell you that we hit 4 bars, all of which were Chris's well-known bars for a variety of food, mostly Okinawan. Like, his favorite bars, and they were played Okinawa music, served Okinawa dishes, and he's convinced me that when I come back to Japan next year, when I'm 60 years old and have a good reason to celebrate, I'm going to get a little extra ticket and send myself to Okinawa, where I have never been, and spend 3 days on the beach. That's what I'm going to do. That's my treat to myself. That's a promise to myself. So here I am, heading back home. It's midnight now. I'm probably going to be late again. I'm going to have to wake people up again. I can't help that. Chris is an amazing man. He's another one of my gurus, and you know I have many gurus, but Chris is one who's left America when he's about 15 years old, came to Japan, is fluently bilingual, has lived the past 4 years in Australia just to get himself off his American passport and onto an Australian passport. So now he has Australian citizenship, and as soon as he gets that, he's returning to Japan. Chris loves Japan, belongs in Japan, married to a Japanese woman. Chris is one of those pure souls that you just feel really lucky to have met. Kind, quiet, deep, reflective, very, very special person. And I'm just delighted and honored that I was able to fit in on my last full night in Japan. Meet up with Chris, who just flew in from Singapore today. We just overlapped by one day. And so here we are. And Chris is probably going to open a bar one day. So tonight I gave him a coaster and I said, "I better see that damn coaster on your bar when you open up." Oh my God, what am I looking at?
Holy Christ. Boots with straps attached to shorts. And a lot of flash. This is just too unusual. This is like something you'd see out of a movie. I do not get it. But it's staring me right in the face. Anyway, sorry to get sidetracked. Yes, of course I'm drunk again. I always have. When have I not been drunk on these Japan podcasts, right? Other than in the morning when I'm just waking up. This is the deal. I love Japan. And there's just so many good things to say about it. It's just so, so cool. And with that, I'm going to wind down and hopefully catch my last train home. Bye for now. The next station is Nagano. The doors on the right side are open. The stop after Nagano will be Shinjuku Terminal. Okay, folks, this is it. Winding down at Narita Airport now. Heavy-duty security checking into here. Man, oh man. I wish Canadian airports were more like that. You know, initial screening just to get into the airport when you come up from the train, and police, you know, with big sticks and shields, just standing there quietly. There's never any trouble. But you just want to show you got force if necessary. And kind of a big disappointment at check-in, you know. They asked the lady in front of me, do you have any lighters in your luggage, in your suitcase? You can't have any in carry-on, and you're allowed one in carry-on and none in your packed luggage, your checked luggage. Well, I had five in my luggage. And I had one picked out especially. I think it was called Boys Rush, and I bought it especially to give to my good friend Adam when I meet up in Kingston. Just a little treat from Japan next time he lights up a J to, yeah, use this really cool Boys Rush. In fact, I had two of them, one with a red dragon, one of them was just black. And two very neat ones for my son that I carefully chose when I was with Shaboom for the kanji that was written on them. And one of them said something that translated roughly as, you know, I'll go my own way in life, something like that, for my older son. And the other one was, you know, there are no enemies can touch me. This is a rough translation, but had them verified by my good friend Chris last night and came up with more or less the same thing. Anyway, I really, really wanted to give those two lighters to my son. So I lied at first. And you know me, I mean, I'm a rule breaker, but somehow at the airport with all this heavy-duty security and the fact that they're so strict about asking, I really felt, man, I can't put people's lives at risk if that's the reason, you know, for not carrying lighters, you know? I can't do that. So I sort of gave, I was prepared with my no, and I thought, man, dude, you can't do that. You know, you break some rules. This is a rule you can't break. So then I had just said, well, I better check. Well, fortunately, I had them all in one bag, and I was able to, you know, without a big scene at the airport, reach in, grab it, pull it out. And then I begged, and I had two women come over, and I said, look, I got two sons, I need one lighter for each. No, the rule is one. And there was no bending, it's just, this is Japan, and there are rules, and there's just no question of, you know. The only thing they gave was, well, do you know another passenger? I said, no, I don't know, I'm traveling alone. I wasn't going to track somebody down, but I felt really bummed out about it. Now, so anyway, I kept the black one for my younger son, because I know he likes lighters, and he's 15. It's a cool gift. I'm sorry that number one son doesn't get his, and Adam doesn't get his, and the other ones I would have given away at PAB. They're just, you know, wasted, gone to the airport. So anyway, I come out with one. I'll learn that lesson for next time. It's kind of saddened me, but I understand, and I think I did the right thing. I've been feeling a little shitty about, you know, the past few podcasts I've put up there. Man, I've been drinking a lot. It's part of the life here, and of course I just jump right into it. But I think I've said more than I should have said. I've been fairly rude on a number of shows, and I seem to be fixated on all these young women, and that's just ignorant, and So listeners, if you feel an apology is due, take this one. I'm sorry. I really am. Anyway, it's been a great time. I guess there's a whole lot of things I want to reflect on, and one is just the value of the good friendships. I tried to touch that last time, but people here are really kind, and they really go out of their way to be good to you and be considerate and help you, and so this rule is very simple. You owe that in return. You know, you take that, you give that back. It's not just a question of taking. People, you know, everything, it's not that there's a catch to it, it's just that that's just a simple moral law in life. Somebody's good to you, you're going to be good to them. These people went out of their way. They drove me right to Shinagawa Station today, and I was really well looked after. So, anyway, there's nothing fresh. I really feel like a beer. I can get one. I got the money. I'm probably going to go and do it, and yet I'm also saying, man, oh man, it's time to cut back, dude. But I know I'll have one on the plane. I wish I was also traveling business class and I could check in like I used to. I used to have these Air Canada cards for the Empress Lounge. Check in the lounge, get a paper, pour yourself a Caesar. Really, really nice way to travel. And I'm just a big economy dog now and don't have that kind of power anymore. Those days are gone. Geez, I'm watching the jets just take off, 747s. I'm just looking out the window and it's miraculous how they just lift off. They're bombing off and next thing, zoom, they're up there. And it's kind of a neat scene because, you know, sort of out of my right eye, I'm seeing the runway and the jets taking off. My left eye is looking at the sumo match on TV. It's a sumo tournament going on now in Tokyo. I didn't get really any free time to go and do stuff like that. Me add on a couple of days next time, but that just gets filled up with meetings anyway, you know. The last day is always the last day. The sumo is a cool sport. These guys are huge, and the referees and these incredibly elaborate costumes. You've seen it, I'm sure, on TV, some of you. It's an amazing, amazing sport. I really do like it. Bam, down he goes. Anyway, I don't know who the players are. I used to, but I don't know anymore. But all right, folks, I think I'm going to go grab that beer. You don't mind, do you? Kids starting to look at me. Like, who are you, buddy? Okay, catch you later. Okay, folks, I'm in a taxi now, and this is the end of the Tokyo series, the Japan series of podcasts. I am back on home turf, almost, on the 401 in traffic. Flight was a little bit late, but I do have to top it all off by saying the comments I made about Japan, about how everybody does such a good job. It was the one conversation Chris and I had when we went out to Asagaya for a few drinks, quite a few in fact. Was the attention to detail that all Japanese just they take in all their jobs. Anything, no matter what your job is, you do the best you possibly can. And I love that. And anybody who's been to Japan or spent time in Japan sees that and appreciates that. Coming back to Canada is a bit of a rude awakening because just little things like coming through to, you know, go and see customs, it's chaos. And there's maybe one person standing at, you know, all these control gates, you know, little ropes and things to guide you, herd you like cattle towards the various places. They didn't really know what they were doing, and they were just sort of jabbering and pointing here and there. So you'd have some lines, you know, 40 people long, other lines only 6 people, and it was just reflective of the difference between these cultures. And it may seem a small point, but it's really annoying because you just wish that Canadians could do better. And I think it has a lot to do with our education system. Maybe a lot to do with just management style. That maybe nobody trained the person who is supposed to be greeting people. It was also a bit rough getting off the plane. They had 3 people checking passports right at, as soon as you got off the plane, you hadn't even entered the airport. You're still on that sort of that runway that connects the airport to the plane. And I've never seen that before. And they were really questioning people. Mind you, a suspicious-looking bunch on the plane. They weren't all Canadians, but they were pretty thorough about it. And I thought of my poor students coming through, and boy, if they face that, they're just going to break down and cry. That was one thing. And then, of course, at the luggage check, 2 people with dogs just being urged to jump up on everything, every backpack, everything else, and I think that spooked out a few of the young Japanese visitors too. You know, you do see the dogs in Tokyo. It's a natural thing, but the I wouldn't say it was aggressive. They were just little beagles, but they were pretty thorough in their questioning. So anyway, back here, I'm on my way home, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing my family again, and thank you for being along on this journey with me. I think it was kind of interesting, or I found it interesting anyway. I don't know how it was on your end, but I enjoyed it, and it's going to take me a full year to recover and be ready to go back. And man, oh man, I wish I could fly anything but economy. It's rough on the body. Take care, and see you again, another podcast sometime. Hello again, folks. It's the Scarborough Dude coming to you from Scarborough on a Sunday. I guess I've been back a week and a half now from Japan, and I really want to end this particular show. I want to put closure to the whole Japanese podcast segments. I seem to have fired off an awful lot of them, about five or six shows. And I didn't know how to end this one. Like, last section had me in the taxi coming home, and it sure did feel good to get back home. Although, surprisingly, I think I almost communicated more with my younger son online than we do sort of face-to-face around the house. But that's a topic for another time. I didn't know how to end this. Had to be Japan. I was going to look for a Japanese song or something like that. But just remember that my good friend Wizzy out on the West Coast, who has contributed a lot to these shows and to the former Dixon Jane's newsletter, sent me a letter that I had written to him in October of 1991. So my number one son would be just over a year old, or no, less than that, actually. No, getting on for two. And I'm back in Japan for my second stint. I was there 84 to 87, married, came back to Ottawa. You would have heard about that on podcast number 100, part B, I believe. And anyway, I thought I'd read clips of this letter just to show the impact. You've heard me rave about Japan, to show that really not much has changed in those 16 years that have intervened since then. So from October 25th, 1991, a Eurobar in Mukagoka, UN, and this is, of course, the letter I am reading, that he kindly kept handwritten, hand-scrawled from a bar, and a good old Wizzy scanned it and sent it back to me. October 25th, 1991, a Eurobar in Mukagaoka, UN. Cold beer and lots of fun. 7 p.m. on a Friday night. A few groups of students from the nearby universities. Already beginning to get noisy. Surprise, a very cute, young, long-haired waitress just came on duty. Times like this, I'm glad I'm married so I don't go crazy. I remember those days. Glad I'm not hunting anymore. Another beer. I like this little bar. Discovered it with Harold. And every time I come, I'm glad I'm in Japan. Unfortunately, my Japanese has not improved since returning, as I've not studied at all. Spent all my time on the Mac. That was a Mac Classic, by the way. But life is satisfying here, and will be for a few years yet. I really like my job. Really like my job, and I'm excited about the fact we're moving in the direction I had proposed, concentrating on the high school program. Although lately I'm spending all my time on newsletters, Canadian Teachers in Japan, the editor for that, and Dixon Jane's. I'm also excited about the idea of Dixon Jane's. So fittingly, at 43, I feel good about life, my wife, my son, and my child-to-be, number two son's on his way. Next Thursday is our fifth anniversary, so being able to look back at five good and varied years. Eloping, a trip to Thailand, across Siberia by train, a month in Spain, across Canada by car, 2 good years in Ottawa, a maritime holiday, back to Japan, a new apartment. And now, the second coming. Yes, I've been lucky. And I'm grateful But in the back of my mind, there's a scorecard, and I'll have to pay a price, like a debilitating illness, or Alzheimer's, or cancer, or... Folks, I'm going to stop here and interrupt. That's still with me. It's funny, when you really feel you have a lot to be grateful for, I don't know whether it's a Christian upbringing, there's a sense of guilt almost, like, why do I have it so easy and others suffer? And I'm reflecting those thoughts back in 1991. Back to the letter. The place is now packed. Fresh-smelling girl beside me at the counter. But thoughts of my wife, who yesterday brought us matching pajamas made in China so cheap. She doesn't throw our money away. A very practical wife and mother. How I ramble on. But hey, I'm happy. And it's only 2 beer. So do I leave now? No. Or have another 633-milliliter bottle at less than $3. Or switch to sake, or both, beginning to glow with a ho-ho-ho. Oh, you'd love this place. Great. Okay. Life can be wonderful. Holy shit. UN population stats are terrifying. Japan is crowded but civilized. Oh, before I knew it, my mouth ordered another beer. Yeah, I feel good, like James Brown should. Well, I'm glad you're a friend. I know I'm a shitty friend to you. I'm referring to Wizzy. You deserve better, but I'm glad we're friends, and I hope we continue to be. Do you ever wish to be 20 again? I don't. Usually. But when I see Japanese university students, I think back to the good old days. How free, how much fun. But hey, I've been there, done that. Being 43, a salary man, is something new, and I'm comfortable with this too. I just hope there are multiple lifetimes and I get to do it all again. What do you think? Hey, I think I ordered kaki fried oysters. Japanese love to eat and drink. Do I chat up the birds? Oh, I'm lucky to be here, lucky to be white. I get treated well like in Nigeria. Student life. Drink and fall in love. Yeah, I feel good. Could carry on, except I'm alone. How good 22 in student life looks. This is sure a cheap bar. No one will buy the gaijin a drink. Not that he needs one. 633 milliliters is a good size for beer. And that's the end of that letter. I'll tidy it up and close there, but there's just a long history of really, really loving Japan. And that's okay. So, folks, there you go. That was the Japan series, and I'm kind of anxious to get back to real time with you, but not today. Bye now.
Yeah, it's the Scarborough Dude, and welcome to yet another episode of the Dixon James Podcast, or goodbye from yet another episode of the Dixon James Podcast. You can find us at Dixon James Blogspot, or Blogspot Dixon James, or, gee, I knew I should have prepared better than this, dixonjames.blogspot.com, and all the information you want is right there, or send an email to DixonJames@Rogers.com. And come on, stay tuned. They get better than this, believe me. Bye now. Bye now.